Let's get back to the message this morning. Praise the Lord. Well, first of all, I want to read a scripture, one or two scriptures to us, and we're going to get into what the Holy Spirit has to say to us this morning. First scripture that we're reading is taken from the book of Matthew chapter 3. And we're going to read, you know, the promise back then of the Holy Spirit when it was first spoken, even by the mouth of John the Baptist. Hallelujah. I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance, he said in Matthew 3:11. But he that cometh after me is mightier than I, whose shoes are not worthy, I am not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. So that's the introduction that there was this thing coming that would be called the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And you know, John, he had a commission to be the voice that will prepare the way of the Lord. He was the voice in the wilderness. He was sent to prepare the way of the Lord and introduce the Christ. But he introduced him in two different, you know, ways. Introduced him as the Lamb of God that taketh away the sins of the world. But he also introduced him as the one that will baptize us with the Holy Ghost and with fire. And why did he choose to say it that way? Well, he himself was baptizing people with water. They would come to him, you know, up until that time. We never knew anything about, you know, being baptized in water. You know, John was the one that was sent, and he began to do it. He would stay there in River Jordan, and people would come to him, and he would dip them in the water, bring them up, you know, and tell them, you know, forsake the unrighteousness. Hallelujah. And he would invite them to enter into a new relationship with God. But as the people grew and multiplied that came to him, he began to tell them of something else. Look, this water that I'm baptizing you in is just a symbol. There is yet another baptism that you must experience. And the person that's going to do that for you is not me. It's going to be someone that's coming after me. He's already here, but when he appears and he begins to do this work, eventually he will baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. Praise the Lord. You know, so we want to talk about the with fire part of it. We talked about the Holy Ghost the last 2 days or so, been talking about it in this room. And the Spirit of the Lord is that Holy Spirit. And it's that, you know, some people call it, some translations call it Holy Ghost, we call it Holy Spirit, call it the Spirit of God. You know, whichever way you call it, still the same God. But Jesus said to the people that, you know, when he was leaving, he told them many things. We read some of it yesterday, how he promised that the Holy Spirit, even though was with them at the time, would later be in them. But then when he was leaving, he told them, he said, look, tarry ye in Jerusalem until you be endued with power from on high. Luke chapter 24 and verse 49. And behold, I send promise of my Father upon you. But tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until ye be endued with power from on high. And we see that when he was leaving, the way this same Luke that wrote the Gospel of Luke, he also wrote the book of Acts. And he described Jesus' departure in the book of Acts, chapter 1, the disciples, they knew that Jesus was leaving, and they began to ask him, well, you know, are you going to restore the kingdom to Israel at this time? And the Lord said unto them, Acts chapter 1 and verse 7, It is not for you to know the times and the seasons which the Father has put in his own power. Well, whatever the Father reveals, he will reveal. If he doesn't, he doesn't. Deuteronomy 29 and 29 tells you that. You know, Jesus, he wasn't saying here that it is not for you to know anything. But he said those times and seasons which the Father has put in his own power, that's the one you don't need to know. Other things you can know, you know, because the secret things belong unto the Lord our God. Deuteronomy 29 and 29. But the things which are revealed belong unto us. And there are some times and seasons that the Lord has already revealed to us. A certain thing in the mind of God, certain timing that he would not reveal, but other times and seasons he has revealed. But he said, look, rather than worrying about that, focus on this one thing. But ye shall receive power, dunamis, after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you. And ye shall be my witnesses. Now, that power, you couldn't get it until the Holy Ghost comes on you. And when he comes on you, he will actually come into you, because he said, you know, before, he dwelleth with you and he shall be in you. And what is this power going to do for you? It'll make you become powerful witnesses unto me, he said. So that's the first thing that we see that Jesus telling them, you know, to expect. They were expecting power, because he said it. You'll be endued with power. Wait for the power. That's what they were waiting for. Nobody knew they were going to speak in tongues. They didn't know that. They were not waiting for tongues. So they gathered together in the upper room. There were 120 of them, including Mary was there. And, you know, the brothers of Jesus, they were there with him, with them as well. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, you know, we are told in Acts chapter 2, you know, that they were all in one accord, in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind and filled all the house where they were sitting. But they were expecting power. Well, so something came, you know, and they began to hear the sound of a rushing mighty wind. And they're in their minds thinking, well, this must be it. This must be the thing that God had promised. You know, and Jesus didn't tell them it was going to be on the day of Pentecost. He knew it, but there was a prophetic significance for that. But all he said was just wait until, you know, he didn't give a time, but he gave an event that would happen. When something happens, then you will know that it's done. You will receive power after the Holy Ghost comes upon you. And so they were waiting there. And then there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire. Now that was new. That was new because nobody was expecting that. You know, all they were expecting was some kind of volcanic power that would hit them. I mean, they didn't know what it would be like, but they knew there's going to be some kind of power because Jesus said, you will receive that power. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues. Now that also was new. Praise the Lord. You know, but let's see what the Holy Spirit actually did. Well, it was the Spirit that gave them utterance, though. You will notice here, they began to speak and they were filled with the Holy Spirit, began to speak with tongues as the Holy Spirit gave them utterance. Nobody taught them to speak in tongues. You know, the Holy Spirit just gave them utterance. You know, and it was new. Nobody knew that I was coming. And when everybody that came, all the Jews at that time that came from everywhere, every nation under heaven, they were gathered abroad, you know, from abroad, they were gathered together. They came around and saw these people, you know, and then said, I mean, they were amazed and marveled and said, these people that speak, are they not all, you know, Galileans? I mean, because, you know, they had different kinds of Jews. I mean, but how come we're hearing every man in our own tongue, which were born, you know, and they mentioned all the different places they came from. So you'll notice that right away on that first day of Pentecost, the tongues of power that came upon them, that flames of the Holy Spirit, those flames that split and sat upon each of them and caused them, gave them utterance to begin to speak the wonderful works of God. It wasn't gibberish, ladies and gentlemen. You know, they were not just making sound that meant nothing. They were speaking, you know, in a language that even people could understand. The people that came there said, wow, what are they? Why are they speaking? How come we hear every man in our own language? Because they were hearing and understanding what they were saying. They were all amazed. And they said, these people must be drunken. You know, and of which, you know, Peter, you know, began to speak to them. Say, why do we hear them speak in our tongues the wonderful works of God? So we see that, you know, speaking in tongues oftentimes will bring a declaration of the wonderful works of God. Hallelujah. But beyond that, look at the power that came. The power that came on the day of Pentecost, we see it in Peter. Peter was a man that denied Christ. You know the story. I don't even need to read it to anyone. Three times in one night, beyond, you know, before even a maid, you know, he wasn't even standing before the magistrate, or just a maid and different people that were around him say, hey, you know, we see you, you look like one of them. He began to swear that I don't know the man. So it's this same Peter. Look at the difference the Holy Ghost makes. This same Peter that denied Christ before a maid, he stood before a crowd out of whom 3,000 people were saved. And he said to them and indicted them, you know, all of them, he said, you are the ones that crucified this Jesus who was approved among you by miracles, by wonders, by signs, you know, which he did among you. But him being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, you have taken and by wicked hands have slain. Crucified, whom God also raised up, you know, of whom we are witnesses, having loosed him from the pains of death, because it was not possible that death should hold him down. As it is written in the Psalms, he said, I foresaw the Lord always before my face, for he's on my right hand that I should not be moved. Therefore did my heart rejoice and my tongue was glad. Moreover, also my flesh shall rest in hope. Because I will not leave my soul in hell, neither will I suffer thy Holy One to see corruption. And began to speak then. And he told them, men and brethren, let me freely speak unto you of the patriarch David. And he took it and began to speak to them. This was someone who couldn't even, you know, stand up for Christ before he made. You can see the difference that the power makes. Praise the Lord. You know, so when we receive the Holy Spirit today, we need to focus on that power to make us effective witnesses for the Lord. The disciples went everywhere with that power and preaching the word of God and God confirming their word with signs following. Now today, unfortunately, when people are thinking about the Holy Spirit, are thinking about speaking with tongues, you know, that's all that people are thinking about. And sure enough, they will speak with tongues, but there's no power, you know, after that. Because the people, once we speak with tongues now, we think we have arrived. There's no power. There's no real power anyway. Just speaking tongues all day long, there's nothing happening. Because our focus on getting endowment of the Holy Spirit rather than focusing on endowment of power is speaking with tongues. You know, when you speak with tongues, you think you got it. Or maybe you do, maybe you don't. But we need to see some power. We need to have some power. And what are the things, you know, that the Lord promised that the Holy Spirit will do for us when it comes? Well, let's look at some of the things. You know, some people say, well, you know, speaking in tongues is the evidence of the Holy Spirit. I'm not sure where they get that from in the scriptures. We do see anecdotally that every time they received the Holy Spirit, they spoke with tongues, you know, and we see that that actually happened. However, what Jesus said would happen when we receive the Holy Ghost is what we need to consider. And let's consider some of these things. This is the power and the fire that comes with the Holy Spirit. And I'll talk about the fire in a minute too. But let's see what the Holy Spirit is really supposed to do since we're on the subject. of the Holy Spirit the last couple of days. Jesus speaking to them in the book of Job, chapter 14, after Philip asked that question about show us the Father and so on, and Jesus telling them why he must go away so that the Holy Spirit come. Yeah, some of the things that he said concerning the Holy Spirit. He said in verse 25 of John chapter 14, these things I have spoken unto you, being yet with you. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name. Now let's begin to see the evidence of the Holy Spirit. Because these are the things that the Holy Spirit will do when he comes. Number one, he shall teach you all things. So we see that Holy Spirit is the teacher, according to John 14 and 26. Holy Spirit will teach you all things. Number two, he shall bring all things to your remembrance. Whatsoever I have said unto you before, the Holy Spirit, he is the guardian of the words of God. He will make sure that you don't forget, you know. You talk about guardians of the universe and so forth. Holy Spirit is the guardian of the word of God. He will make sure you don't forget. He's also the governor of the church. He will teach you and he will lead you in the right way. Now, he said that and they told them about the Holy Spirit. And so keep those things in mind. We're going to add to it some other things that he said here and there concerning the Holy Spirit. The first thing though is he will teach you, you know, all things. Second thing is it will bring to you the remembrance of those things that I already said to you before. And let's jump to chapter 15 of, of John. And let's read from verse 26. But when the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father. And yesterday I was speaking about Jesus saying, whom the Father will send in my name. And here saying, whom I will send to you from the Father. So we see, it's really the same Spirit walking. But when the Comforter is come, let's look at another things which he will do. You know, when he's come, even the Spirit of truth, which proceeded from the Father, he shall testify of me. So that's number three. Number one, shall teach you all things. Number two, shall bring to your remembrance the things that I've told you concerning the word of God. Holy Spirit is a reminder. You know, he will show you where to find that word also. You know, he will bring you back to the word. Always back to the word. That's the Holy Spirit. That's the, you know, if you want to know that somebody is in the light, well, check it against the word of God. Isaiah 8:20 tells us that. If these people, you say, back to the law and to the testimony. When anyone speaks, you check it against the word of God. If it is not in alignment, then there is no light in them. And get away from it. You know, but the Holy Spirit, one, will teach you all things. That's all things. Two, he will bring to your remembrance all things that I said to you before. Now, three, he will testify of me. Now, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, which have been with me from the beginning. Then number four, go to John chapter 16 and verse 13. Let me pick it from verse 12. I have yet many things to say unto you, but you cannot bear them now. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come. Now, see, we've already talked about it, teaching you all things. We've talked about he bringing to your remembrance all the things that I told you before. We talked about him testifying of the Christ. Now, he added some more dimensions to it. He said, when he is come, he will guide you into all truth. And that's what he does too. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatever he shall hear, that shall he speak. And number five, he will show you things to come. Now all of these are the power that we must receive. Power of the Holy Spirit to be able to instruct us in things of righteousness. You know, if our heart is obstinate, we don't hear the word of God. Maybe we don't have the Holy Spirit because the Holy Spirit is what he does. Maybe speaking in tongues, but you hear the word of God, your heart is obstinate to it. You reject it. You refuse it. Well, maybe you don't have the Holy Spirit. Because if you do have the Holy Spirit, it will bring to your remembrance the scriptures. And it will tell you what the scripture says on that subject. And not only that, he will not speak of himself. You know, but then he also show you things to come. So there's five things that we have mentioned here so far. that we see that the Holy Spirit will do for you. Now, in none of these five things that Jesus was talking about when he was promising them, when he'll come back in a different form, said, I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. Now, so we see that, but it was the Holy Spirit that came. But Jesus said, I will come to you. So, you know, it's the same Spirit. And those five things that he talked about, in none of those places did he speak about speaking with tongues. He did actually speak about speaking with tongues in another place. He said in Mark chapter 6, when he was leaving the disciples, this is the way Mark remembered it, and he wrote it. And he said, these signs, Mark 16, will follow them that believe. You know, multiple things that they will do. But, you know, it wasn't just about speaking in tongues either. There was a lot of things. He told them first, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. But he that believeth not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow them that believe. Jesus was actually talking about the people that will hear the gospel. This is what he was talking about. Look, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth, that's those that receive your gospel preaching, and is baptized shall be saved. And they that believe not shall be damned. We heard that also yesterday. And this sign shall follow them that believe your gospel preaching. In my name, they shall cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. And we take this scripture. We know that these are things that should be for believers. And it is true. You know, but in this place, Jesus isn't necessarily talking about the coming of the Holy Spirit. We're just talking about, you know, this is believers at some point in their life. You know, they're believers. These signs should follow them. You know, they should be able to cast out devils. They should be able to, they will speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, it won't hurt them, and so on and so forth. In this particular place, he was not associating this, you know, particularly with the coming of the Holy Spirit. But in those other places that I gave you was where he talked about the coming of the Comforter. When the Comforter comes, one, he shall teach you all things. Two, he will bring to your remembrance those things that I have told you. Three, he will testify of me. You know, four, he will guide you into all truth. Five, he will show you things to come. And he point blank talking about what the Holy Spirit will do in those places. Now, over the years, we've somehow managed to put the speaking in tongues in the forefront of what the Holy Spirit will do when he comes. But like I said, anecdotally, you know, those actually did happen. Every time that they received the Holy Spirit in the Acts of the Apostles, they actually did speak with tongues. But it wasn't preached as a doctrine. It wasn't what Jesus told them to expect. You know, it was a surprise. You know, it was a surprise. And every place they went, even after the day of Pentecost, they said, wow. You know, even in Acts chapter 10, when Peter went to the house of Cornelius and he was speaking to him and so forth, and while he was still speaking, trying to tell them about the gospel and all these things and so forth, the Holy Spirit fell on them. And he said, you know, and how did they know the Holy Spirit fell on them? This is some of the arguments that people use, because they heard them speak in tongues and declare the wonderful works of God. So they knew the Holy Spirit must have come upon them, because there's no way you will speak with tongues and declare the wonderful works of God if you did not receive the Holy Spirit. Yet, Peter wasn't preaching that to them on that day. It just happened. And Peter himself was surprised. And he said, well, I mean, you know, who can forbid water, you know, for these people to be baptized now that we see that they have received the Holy Spirit just like us? You know, of a truth, he said, that God is not a respecter of persons. But in every nation, he that feareth him and walketh righteousness accepted of him. And he began to speak to them, and he told them how God anointed Jesus Christ of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power. That power must follow that Holy Ghost, you know, anointing, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, and began to tell them all the things that people did. Now, while Peter yet spake, this is Acts chapter 10 and verse 44. While Peter yet spake these words unto Cornelius and his household and so forth, the Holy Ghost fell on them which heard the word. My goodness. And they of the circumcision which believed were astonished. Why? Well, you know, because as many as came with Peter, they saw that upon the Gentiles was the Holy Spirit, the gift of the Holy Spirit poured out as well. And how did they know? For they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. You know, and this is the reason why people think that, you know, that's the only thing to look for. Well, that will happen. But if that's all we focus on, then we will not get all the other five things that Jesus talked about, which is really where the power lies. The testimony that they had to bear concerning the resurrection of Christ. You know, like, you know, James and Peter went up in Acts chapter 3, right after they received the Holy Ghost, went up to the temple in the hour of prayer, and they found this man that was sitting there that was looking on them to receive alms for them. And Peter said, you know, silver and gold I have not, but such as I have, in the name of Jesus Christ. And that's the power to testify in his name. And they, you know, healed that man that day. And later on, when everybody gathered, trying to make something out of it, as though they, by their own power, had done this, Peter spoke to them and said, look, you know, why are you doing this, thinking that we of our own power did this? You know, he said, look, we did not do this of our own power, but the name of Jesus, he said, which God had raised up from the dead, which you denied. He said, this man, I mean, his name, through faith in his name, hath made this man strong, whom you see and know. And yea, the faith that is in him, given him, has made him, given him this perfect soundness in the presence of you all. Now, you can read that in Acts chapter 3, verses 14 through about 16. And that's how they gave witness. And that he did a miracle, the people come around, and they say, wow, well, what a great thing, you people are gods or whatever. They say, no, there's no such thing, just like you guys. But the name of Jesus has given this man this perfect soundness among you all. And through faith in his name, and he began to promote the name of Jesus. Now that's power, that's being a witness, that's a testifier. But it also means they, you know, they were showing and doing the works. Jesus said in John 14 and 12, the works that I do, the same shall ye do. And they were doing the works. They were going everywhere. In fact, we're told, you know, that there was so much power with those disciples and those early apostles back then that, you know, the various things were just happening. I mean, Peter was a man that was, he was a changed man, you know. You saw this, you know the story of Peter, and you know how, you know, what the Lord, you know, did for him and prayed for him and so forth to keep him. And you know how the Lord, you know, called him, I mean, saved him out of prison and everything. You know, but this Peter, you know, was a man, after he was converted, Jesus said, well, when you're converted, strengthen your brethren. And this Peter, there were so many things that happened even in his life. You know, at one time, you know, people were, there was so much power around Peter that people, I mean, Peter wasn't asking people to do this, bear in mind, but, you know, the people wanted to do it, you know, that even the shadow of Peter just passing by, you know, will fall upon the sick. They will bring the sick, they'll line them up by the street, you know, and they say, well, you know, if just his shadow, you know, would pass by, I mean, when he passed by, would touch them, they would be healed. Well, you know, every miracle that these people did, they didn't really focus too much on the miracles, but God was doing mighty things for them, you know. And look at Acts chapter 5. Some of the things that, you know, this is where you see the power happening. You know, it was, they didn't just gather around and speak in tongues all day. You know, they were doing these things. You know, look at Acts chapter 5 and verse 12. See the things that they were doing. You know, by the hands of the apostles were many signs and wonders wrought among the people. You know, and they were all with one accord. Well, Holy Ghost will do that too. You know, and there were many believers that were added more to the Lord, multitudes of both men and women, in so much that they brought forth the sick into the streets and laid them on beds and couches, that at the least the shadow of Peter passing by might overshadow some of them. My goodness. You know, we've never seen any such thing since that time. That's some power. You know, that, you know, just Peter wasn't going out and preaching and telling people, lay your sick on the street so that when I pass by, my shadow will heal them. If it was today, that's what people would be preaching. Anytime we see demonstration of the Holy Spirit, you know, we blow it up, magnify that thing, focus on that thing, and forget what the mission of the Holy Spirit is. After a while, the Spirit just leave them to be doing their thing. You know, but these people were focused on bringing glory to Christ. Of course, those miracles were happening, and those miracles must be there. A life that is void of miracles, signs, and wonders, you can't really. James said it when we read it. In the book of James says, show me your faith without any works. I don't know. I don't know if you really have any faith. Because faith without works is dead. But I'll show you by faith, by my works. I'm going to go out there and heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse the lepers, do all these things that Christ said. Yeah, absolutely. You know, so, but they did not focus on those things. They preached the word, and the signs were from God to follow that word. The word of God goes out first. The signs followed to show that it was sent from God. Today, we go for signs first and perhaps some word. No, the way to have the true power of the Holy Spirit is focus on the things that Christ said about the Holy Spirit. And then these other things will follow. Now, there were so many other things in the case of Paul also, you know. I mean, the things that the people are doing today, we got prayer cloth, we got this and that and so forth. You know, we learned it from people taking handkerchiefs from Paul and you know, going to heal the sick. They didn't make any doctrine out of that, but it happened. Just like the woman who said, if I cannot touch the hem of his garment. And people believe that, look, if they can just take something that had touched the body of Paul, you know, and go somewhere, it would cast out devils. And so they believed it. And it worked for them and so on. But there was power with the apostles. Power, you know, to preach the word of God with boldness. Now, if we're unable to preach the word of God with boldness today, well, we can speak with tongues a lot, but maybe there's something that's missing. And that's what we're focusing on in this lesson today. That fire, you know, that, you know, I call it the, you know, fiery furnace kind of faith. As you see with those, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they were able to go through the fire. Their faith was like, look, you cast us into that fire all day long. We're not going to bow down, no matter what you do. We know our God will pull us out of there, but even if he doesn't, we're not going to bow down. But we know he will. And the Lord, he did pull them out of there. Now, that kind of faith and that kind of power, you know, is what we need again. Praise the Lord. Now, there is a story of a man in the scriptures, you know, called Samson. And you know, they've made all these movies about, you know, some people that receive super strength, Superman, you know, all these people, you know, that receive strength and so on from somewhere. Well, you know, they bastardized some stories in the Bible, but this man called Samson, he was a man that had, you know, power. The Holy Spirit would come upon him back in the day. You know, Holy Spirit used to just come upon them. They didn't have the, you know, ever abiding and dwelling presence. But from time to time, Holy Spirit would come upon them. But you know the story of Samson. But if you don't know it, read it from about chapters 13 through 16 of the book of Judges. One day I will go through that. in this room. But today, I want to read something to us of what happened to this. Yeah, you might know his story, how Delilah deceived him to find out the source of his power and so on. And when he eventually told, he wouldn't tell for a long time, but when he eventually told and he shaved his hair and everything, you know, the power was gone from him, you know. But, you know, what happened to him was then they came upon him just like before and they tied his hand just like before. They put chains around him, tied his leg, tied his hand, tied everything and so forth. He would just shake them off as a leaf, as if it was nothing. And nobody could figure out the source of his power. But there was some tremendous power that he had. Well, listen to the story, though. Don't jump ahead of this story. The part I want to bring out was, you know, this man, when he eventually lost that power, you know, and they captured him, plucked out his eyes and everything and made sport of him and so on, you know, and they put him in the Colosseum one day. They all gathered together and they put him in the Colosseum one day and they were making fun of him. They told him, you know, because now he's lost his power. I want to show you the prayer that Samson prayed, which is what we're going to pray here today. Similar kind of prayer, you know. So Samson said unto the man, you know, the people that, you know, held him captive. He said, suffer me, I pray that, you know, let me feel the pillars upon which the house stand, that I may lean upon them. They didn't know what was in his mind. You can read this in Judges chapter 16, verse 26. Now the house was full of men and women, and all the lords of the Philistines were there. And they were upon the roof, about 3,000 men and women, and beheld while Samson made sport. Because they had plucked out his eyes, and they would make a sound, and he would run around and so forth. They make a sound, and they were just laughing at him, you know, because he couldn't see. So he told them, he said, look, just let me, you know, bring me to these pillars somewhere, one of these pillars. Let me just lean against it. And they were laughing at him. And here's what he said. This is the prayer in verse 28 of Judges chapter 16. And Samson called unto the Lord and said, O Lord God, remember me, I pray thee, and strengthen me, I pray thee, only this once. Now that means one more time. Hallelujah. One more time, Lord. As in the past, as in the olden days, bring that power again upon me. And he prayed that prayer, you know. And he said, Lord, I pray thee, strengthen me like before. Now, this man, he would go down against the lion with nothing in his hand. He would just tear the lion as, you know, like you just tear a little piece of cutting wool or something. Just tear the lion apart. Nothing to him at all. This man would run and catch 1,000 foxes. How do you do that? How do you run after 1,000 foxes? You know, I mean, this man, he did some incredible things, you know, but this time around, all that power was gone. And he thought the power was still there. In fact, we're told that after they shaved off his, cut off the locks of his head, his wife did, you know, told the lords of the Philistines his secret, and they did that. He arose and shook himself as before, you know, and but lo and behold, that power was gone. Ladies and gentlemen, this is the state of the church today. That power is gone. In another story, it's called Ichabod. The glory of God has departed. And they didn't know it, you know. And so Samson didn't know it. He bestirred himself again as old times. Shook himself up, because that's how he used to do before. When they put the chains, he would just shake himself up and just break those chains. Nothing could hold him. I mean, no matter the size of the chains or how thick they were, he would just break them off. So this time around, he shook himself like in the old times also and tried to break those chains and do all of that, but he couldn't. And then little did he know it, but the power was gone. Because the Lord, you know, cautioned him not to do that, tell his secret, but he did. And the power was gone, but he didn't know it. And then he found out, they captured him, plucked out his eyes, made mockery of him. But he stood in this place and he prayed this prayer and said, Lord, one more time, touch me one more time. Hallelujah. Touch me one more time, O Lord. Give me that power again one more time. And while he was there, while they were all still laughing, there was one big pillar in the middle of the Colosseum. which was the thing, the load-bearing thing that held up most of the Colosseum. And he leaned against that thing. And he said, Lord, one more time. Give me that power again. Glory to God. And when he was there, and he took hold of those, the two of the middle pillars, they set them there like that, the way that they built those things, and he put his hands around that, and the Lord gave, put some strength, and his muscles came back, the power of the Lord came back upon him one more time. He said, one more time, Lord, one more time, let that power come upon me, strengthen me once again. And the Holy Ghost came upon him as at other times, and he bent that thing. He took that house down, and he said, well, you know, if I have to die with them, I'm going to die with them. He bowed himself with all his might. The house fell upon the lords and all the people that were therein. And in that one day, you know, in that one day, he slew in that Colosseum more people than all his life put together. Because he prayed and said, Lord, one more time. Visit me one more time. And even though he was at the end of his life, you know, his life was, his light had been put out. His eyes were gone. You know, Jesus said, well, the eyes are the light of the, you know, of the body. His light had been put out. And, but he called upon the Lord for one more time. Touch me one more time. Touch me one more time. And that's a prayer we're going to pray here in a bit before we get out of this room. But you see how he did it, how he called upon the Lord. One more time. I need that power. I need that power. Touch me, Lord. One more time. And the Lord heard him and he brought the house down. Ladies and gentlemen, he brought that house down because the Holy Ghost came upon him again. Now, some of us may be like that Samson roaming around, you know, when the power had gone, not knowing, trying to stir up the power, but nothing there. Is it gone? And that's like the church today. The power is gone. Try to stir up, but nothing happening because it's gone. We need that prayer. We need that power. We need that fire again. And one time, you know, a couple of his disciples came to Jesus and said, well, grant that when, you know, we come in thy kingdom, we sit on the left and on the right. James and John did. And Jesus said, well, you don't know what you're asking. You know, you can't, I can't, you know, dish that out. And so, and Jesus asked them, said, well, can you drink of the cup that I drink? Can you be baptized with the baptism that I'm baptized with? They say, yeah, we're able. And Jesus said, okay, well, you will indeed, you know, drink of the cup that I drink, be baptized with the baptism that I'm baptized with. But to say who's going to sit here and there, I can't give you that one. That's already predetermined by my Father. My goodness. And indeed, were they baptized with the baptism? And did they suffer that fire, the fanning of the fiery breath? James was killed. John cast into all kinds of things. You know, they went through it. Now, the fire could be a lot of things, you know. Sometimes the fanning of the fiery breath come upon us and push us through many trials and different things and so forth. You know, but the Lord said, I'll be with you right there. I will be with you. And the fire of God signifies many things. You know, God appearing in fire throughout the Old Testament signifying many things. The purity, the fire, the cleansing, and everything. You know, and God was used to appearing in fire. You know, we saw his appearances to Moses, in the burning bush in Exodus 3, Mount Horeb, the fire, and so forth. You know, we've seen Ezekiel, the prophet that knew the, to see, he knew it was always around the fire of God. Wheels, a wheel within a wheel, burning and fire and coals of fire and different things. We saw it. Isaiah also, he saw coals of fire and the seraphim getting that and touching his lips and so forth. And God was always doing that. Daniel, he saw him, you know, it says his eyes were like a flame of fire, the Ancient of Days, you know, and so forth. And he saw the Son of Man come to him. They saw these things, and even John on the Isle of Patmos, he said, I beheld him, and from his, you know, loins and down, his feet were like burning brass, his eyes were like a flame of fire. And God always showed that fiery part of him. Well, that fire, we're told, and God told us, on the day that we started this room, a little over 2 years ago, in the book of Leviticus, he told us in chapter 6. And we read it, and it was the charter that God gave us. He said, look, that fire must not go out. Well, ladies and gentlemen, the fire goes out sometimes. You got to crank it up. That's why he told you the fire must not go out. You know, and if we don't know how to come back and crank it up, the fire will go out. But the fire must not go out. That's what he said. The fire upon the altar shall be burning in it. Leviticus 6, 12 and 13. It shall not be put out. And he said, the priest shall burn wood upon it every morning. That's why we come out here every morning, try to crank something up, and lay the burnt offering in order upon it. And he shall burn thereof the fat offering for the peace offerings. And the fire shall be ever burning upon the altar. It shall never go out. Fire, fire, fire on the altar. Burn, burn, burn. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So that fire must be ever burning. If we see that that fire is going out, we got to crank it up. You know, we got to crank it up. What are the things that makes the fire to go out? Well, Jesus told this parable. Yeah, you know, in Matthew chapter 13, it's at least one of those places where he told it. You know, he called it the parable of the sower. You know, and he said, well, when that seed was sown, it, you know, fell upon different things. Some fell by the wayside. We call them wayside hearers of the word of God. And the devil came and plucked it out of their heart. Well, you know, others fell among, you know, rocks and so forth. And they didn't have enough root in themselves. They sprang up at him initially, but as soon as the sun came up, because they had no root, they withered away. Well, then we found some, you know, that fell among thorns. And that's the one I want to talk about. The one that fell among thorns, Jesus said, well, these were the ones, you know, who, I mean, they received the word of God with joy and so forth. But the chaos of this life choked everything out of them. And ladies and gentlemen, that's the category that most of us are falling into. We started out with fire. I mean, I know when I was a kid, I was barely, you know, just a kid, not 19, 20 years old. And many of the people in my generation that are on this platform will tell you the same experiences. There was fire in our bones. At that time, we had no care for anything in the world. Cared about nothing other than the gospel and the power of God. Paul said, well, the gospel is the power of God. And that's all we cared about. Well, enough time passed. You know, we started getting married and all these kind of things. Started having children, go to college and so forth. You know, chaos of this life. Come on in there and choke out the fire. But here, lo and behold, at the end of the age, the Lord is speaking to us again. He said, go back to your first love. You know, I know thy works, he said to the church of Ephesus. I know thy works. You know, I mean, you know how to discern even false apostles and all of that. And you've done all these things and they're good. You know, but I have one thing against you. Remember Jesus one time, you know, he told a man when he asked him a question, what must I do to inherit eternal life? He said, you know the law. You do this, you do that, and you do the other. And the man said, well, you know, I've done this since my youth. And Jesus looked at him and he saw his life pass before him. Said, well, yeah, you're right. And Jesus loved the man. He said, nevertheless, thou lackest one thing. You know, go and do such and such. And Jesus knew the problem that this man had was his dependency upon his riches. And when he told him, he went away sorrowful. Well, Jesus knew also, you know, all these churches that he was talking to, the church of Ephesus, he knew their problem. You know, their problem was they had lost that first fire. And he said, look, I have, you know, even though you've labored and you have not fainted and you have patience and you have borne and you have done these things for my name's sake, it's all good. Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee because thou hast lost thy first love. I call it that first fire. You lost that first fire. You never went when you were young and you received that fire. There wasn't a place you went without the Bible in your hand. Nobody could shut you up. you know, it didn't matter. You didn't care about nothing other than tell that word, heal the sick, you know, raise the dead. It didn't bother you at all. You know, you feared nothing. You were like a, you know, the Bible said a righteous man, you're bold as a lion. You were bold as a lion. You feared nothing. And today, where is all of that? Well, here is the promise of God, because we're going to pray for that promise. There was a time that God promised the Holy Ghost for the first time. Well, that's not the promise that we have for our day. That was then. This is now. You know, this we do not have the promise of the Holy Ghost for the first time anymore. That's already done. It's been fulfilled. But here is the promise that we have. And we are going to pray this prayer today. This is the promise. You know, the Lord, he was speaking to the prophet Haggai. He said, look, speak now to, through the prophet Haggai. So Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, the governor of Judah, and Joshua, you know, Josedek, the high priest, and the rest of the other people. Who is left among you that saw this house in her first glory? Well, ladies and gentlemen, men and brethren, myself especially, and all the people of my generation that saw this glory of God in the former move, well, where is it at now? The Lord says, oh, yes, the promise at the end. He says, how do you see it now? Is it not in your eyes in comparison of it as nothing? You know, you talk about power. You talk about the lack thereof. Well, we've seen that power. Sammy said, I saw the God of heaven, the power of God in the sanctuary. I saw his glory. Well, we saw a lot of things. Where is that power at? You know, we're seeing some, you know, trickles here and there, you know, and so forth. But we're not seeing yet the deluge of power like we had. You know, there was a reckless abandon in our hearts then that we didn't care about nothing but the gospel and the, you know, the word of God. And people could come into a prayer meeting. They could stay there all night long. They did not even leave. You have to shut the door. You know, what do you see today? I know that even in our local church here in Phoenix, Arizona, church service on Sunday, only once a week anymore. Church service on Sunday, doors open. Well, the praise team get in there a little early to practice. Doors open, you know, 10 o'clock. Most people that come to, majority of the people that arrive in that service that day will come 45 minutes late. Some almost an hour late and all that stuff. It's only a 2-hour service, you know, and people come half hour late, 1 hour late and so forth. You know, how in the world are you going to get the fire? You know, back in the day, people would line up waiting for the doors to open, you know, before the doors even opened. That's some power. That's when we had real power. And there was a hunger and there was a thirsting and there was a yearning for the power. And when the fellowship opened, as we began to praise the Lord and began to pray, the students would come. You know, I've experienced this. They would come. The windows were open, the glass windows in the classroom and so forth where the fellowship started. And the Holy Ghost fire would fall. And when it did, students would line up across along that hallway, peeping in and wondering what in the world. They didn't see the fire, but they were wondering what in the world, what is these people doing? And one by one, every last one of those people that gathered along the corridor to make mockery of what was going on the inside, every single last one of them, each time the Holy Ghost fire came like that, they would be drawn into the mist. Fall down. Nobody even preached anything to them. We're just minding our business, carrying on the service of God. And they will come into the midst, fall down, begin to cry, you know, for mercy. And then people might look at them and say, wow, you know, and then Holy Ghost begin to fall upon them, you know, and then some of them, you know, they get deliverance. The same day began to receive the Holy Ghost, begin to speak in tongues. These were people 5 minutes before that were mocking the power of God. You know, and that was some power. And we saw that time and time again. You know, I saw crippled healed. I saw hunchback healed. I saw deaf and dumb healed. I saw all kinds of things. I saw crazy man for years healed. You know, I saw all kinds of things. Well, where do you see this power or this house in his glory as of now? Now, this is the promise of God at the end of the age. It's not just receive the Holy Ghost for the first time. We already did that. You know, but now it's a restoration. I will restore, saith the Lord. Joel 2:25, 23-25 and 6 is the promise now at the end of the age. You know, we had something that was gone. But like Samson, we're going to pray. Hallelujah. But the good thing about us better than Samson, in Samson's case, you know, he only had one shot at it. And that was it. He died with the renewing of the power. Well, to God be the glory. We're not dying, you know, and we're not going to die in this wilderness. We are going to get to that promised land. That power must return. The glory must return. We must not remain the generation of whom it is said, Ichabod, the glory has departed. So ladies and gentlemen, we are going to pray. Our prayer today is going to be, Lord, touch me one more time. Touch me one more time, Lord. There's a song we sing like that. Touch me one more time. Oh, Lord. Oh, Lord. Touch me one more time. Oh, Lord. Jesus, I need the power. Touch me one more time. Touch me one more time. Touch me one more time. Oh, Lord. Do you need that power today? And if you haven't experienced this, even not even for the first time, we invite you like Jesus invited you. He said, come unto me. Hallelujah. Walk with me. Build with me. And those of us who have experienced it, but you know, where is the power at today? Well, maybe we lost our focus. And so we lost our edge. We lost the advantage. We lost our fire. We need to pray for that fire again. Ladies and gentlemen, in a moment, I'm going to turn this place into an old-fashioned prayer meeting. Hallelujah. Praise God. Now, don't say, well, I received the Holy Spirit in 1970-something. Well, that was then, but this is now. Remember, even the Acts of the Apostles, not even many months apart, they had come back for the infilling of the Holy Spirit because they began to be threatened. They were threatened. The chief priests and everybody began to get a hold of them, beat them up, you know, with several lashes and tell them, don't go and speak in that name anymore. We don't want to hear it. Turning the place upside down. And in Acts chapter 4, just a few months later, they came back again, the Bible says, to their company. And they prayed again. They said, Lord, something is missing. We're beginning to be afraid. Behold the threatenings of it. These were people that were not afraid at one time. And then they began to be afraid. They said, Lord, behold the threatenings of the people. Now grant, oh God, that boldness and power may come back unto us. You know, and when they began to pray that prayer, you know, as it was on the first time, the Bible says that the place was shaking together again that they were assembled. My goodness. They were filled again with the Holy Ghost. Well, so you can be filled again and again and again and again. Behold now the threatenings of the people, they said, and grant unto thy servants that with all boldness, that means they had lost their boldness, they lost their edge, and they knew it, they recognized it, and they came back and asked the Lord for more fire. Grant now, Lord, you know, boldness for thy people. Acts chapter 4:29. By stretching forth your hand to heal again, let those signs and wonders return through the name of thy holy child Jesus. And while they prayed, see, so the same people that received the Holy Ghost before in chapter 2, while they prayed, the place was shaking where they were assembled together, and they were all filled again with the Holy Ghost. And they received a new boldness. So speak the word of God again with boldness. So ladies and gentlemen, we are going to pray. What is it that you have seen? Sammy said, I saw the power of God in the sanctuary. Well, what have you seen before? Haggai said, well, how do you see this house now? Those of you that have seen it before, what do you see now? Doesn't it look to you like nothing? And he gave a prophecy, which is what we are going to pray for today. And here's what he said. He said, I will fill this house with glory again. Hallelujah. How do you see this house? Isn't it as nothing? He said, well, I will fill this house with glory. And the glory of this latter house will surpass that of the former. Ladies and gentlemen, the glory. He said, the silver is mine, the gold is mine. Don't worry about that. Don't focus on that. That's not your concern. But that's the our concern these days, chasing the almighty dollar, as they call it. Well, it's not almighty at all. It's nothing. The silver and the gold is the Lord's. The glory of this latter house, he said in Haggai 2 and 9, shall be greater than that of the former, saith the Lord of hosts. And in this place will I give peace and a return of my glory, saith the Lord. Now let's pray, ladies and gentlemen. I pray a return of the fire. I pray a return. Holy Ghost fire. Come and lick up everything. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus, everything that is not right in our lives, let that Holy Ghost fire lick it up. It's that the fire that fell on the days of Elijah and licked up the water. Let it lick up everything that is contrary in our lives. Every area, every blockage, everything that has hindered us, everything that has caused distraction. Distraction! Distraction! Come against it in the name of Jesus. And remember, if you hear the word of God and your heart remains obstinate, and maybe you don't have the Holy Ghost yet like you thought. So I pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ that the Holy Spirit, the roles that we were told of him that he will fulfill, will teach us, he will teach us all things. Ah, Lord, you say he will bring to our remembrance all things that you said to us, will testify of you, will guide us into all truth, and it will show us things to come. These things that you promised us, and it give us power to be effective witnesses. I pray that this power will come back into our lives. Help us, O Lord. We repent of the apathy in our hearts. You know, we've just been callous, careless, unconcerned about the things of God. We pray, Lord, that a quickening and an awakening. Awake, thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give you light. I pray, Lord, for a reawakening in the name of Jesus Christ. And Lord, yes, indeed, we have been seeing the trickles here and there of blessings. We've been even sometimes receiving some showers. But we are praying for a deluge. Hallelujah. The sound of abundance of rain. A deluge. Like you promised it. Let it come again. The wave and tide of it, you said. A dynamic haze of power that will sweep the bride into heaven. We want that power. We need that power. Again, in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. I invite you to open up your mouth. Those of you who are on stage, and pray with me. And let's begin to call upon the name of the Lord. We got to pray in sincerity, though. Now, if you say, I am filled with goods and rich and have need of nothing, well, that's a Laodicean church. Well, Jesus said, well, you know not that you are poor, you are wretched, you are miserable, you are blind, and you are naked. But buy of me gold tried in the fire. You know, that fire, we need that fire again. And ask of me, and I will anoint your eyes with our salt, that you may see the real glory of God. And call upon me for a clothing and a cloak of righteousness, and I will give it to you. Hallelujah. And blessed is he that I wash his garment in the Lamb's blood, and they shall walk with me in white, saith the Lord. Now, let's pray. Ladies and gentlemen, I invite you to pray and pray with me now.